Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
One believer, one skeptic, one guest. This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. If you want to be a Patreon, go to patreon.com/realifesci-fi and get two bonus episodes a week. Become a friend of Chalkwan. We'll read your name as a producer on the air. Ooh, what a fucking benefit.
Yeah, thank you for supporting us. And if you don't want to be a Patreon, we got shirts for sale, TeePublic.
Yeah. I guess without further ado, let's welcome to the SSRLSF our good friend, recurring guest, Aaron Pierce.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Hooray!
What? How many times do you know? How many, do you know your count?
I think this is my fourth time. Well, my
Okay.
third. I don't think my third time was ever released because we couldn't figure out what the fuck we were doing.
What do
It
you
was
mean?
like I it was like an anniversary episode or something, and I came to interview you guys, and I don't.
No, it was released.
It was released. Okay, I don't think I heard it then. My
Oh, yeah,
bad.
we have zero quality control. We release everything.
Yeah, you know, though we were it, that did re that did happen at it. No, I thought maybe we were jumping. We had podcast troubles. No, that wasn't then. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
That's. I mean,
That
I bet it was great.
what? You know, if you have listened to that episode.
Uh-oh, we got a dog. Whose dog?
It's our dog. My dinner's here.
You should let us know what you thought of that episode somehow. Because I'm like, I felt like it was a train wreck on, because of me.
Wasn't that like 2 or 3 years ago?
Probably. It
Was that
feels
our,
like a lifetime ago.
that was our 200th episode?
Wait, I was on another time, but it wasn't me. Wink.
Oh
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember your WoW scale?
I am like a hard eight.
Okay, well we've changed the WoW scale. It doesn't go that high anymore.
Oh. Well, shit. How high does it go?
Well, why don't we find out by redoing the WoW scale? For those of you listening, the WoW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a spectrum. If you're a zero, you're on the Wade side. If you're a five, you're on the Willie side. Aaron Pierce, are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Okay. Sure.
I'm gonna start saying it that way because it's got a double meaning.
Yeah.
I got a large? Yeah, okay. So.
Okay, you're getting your dinner.
You could say
No,
really,
it's fine.
are you ready to be really weighed?
Well, doesn't that take away the double meaning?
No. Like seriously weighed. Like
Are you
re
willing to be weighed
no,
on the
re
scale?
really, like seriously,
Oh,
really.
well, are you willing to
REI.
be weighed? Are you willing to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Are
No.
you willing to be weighed?
Oh, that's good. Willing to be weighed. Because I was thinking REALLY. Because every time somebody says, really? I think they're saying my name.
They're saying Willie?
I have the
Really,
same
Wade?
problem in groups. Anytime someone says wait,
Because they
I
say
look
it different.
around.
Nobody says wait. They go, wait.
Wait.
I have a
And then I
similar
go, oh,
problem.
I know someone.
Whenever somebody says Aaron, I think they're talking to me and they never are. There's like seven, there's like 11 other Aarons around me usually.
How many errands were in your class? Did you have to go by Aaron P?
Yes, I did have to go by Aaron P.
And then were kids like,
Oh.
oh, Aaron P again. She peed again. She
Oh, we should
Aaron
call
P
her
in her
Aaron
pants.
Poop.
I was really cool. Nobody made fun of me. Kidding me? I was like the kid that got to go into the teacher's lounge.
Oh, yeah, that's the coolest.
I was cool. Nobody made fun of me.
Okay, without further ado.
Wow me up.
Okay.
Ready to be wowed.
So please confirm you're ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Ready to be weighed on
Mouthful of fries. Here we go.
the wild scale.
WoW scale.
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, Have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. Yes, I believe they visited Earth. Yes, I believe they still they visited in the last 300 years. Extended. Aliens are from the Earth. They live under the water and under the crust. They just exist with us. They think we're fucking dumb.
Do you think that there are beings that look like humans also?
Definitely. It would be stupid to think that there wouldn't.
Word.
I mean, one of the episodes I was on with you guys was about, I forget his name. David.
Icke?
No, he's the hypnotist that interviewed abductees, and they like all talked about teaching humanoid alien hybrids about being a human. Do you guys
know? David. Both, I forget his name, but he wrote the book about because. All the interviewees, the idea is that maybe they've all been training for something to happen.
Yeah, like there was one lady who was like,
the hybrid program.
I taught a class full of kids, and one of them was like, "What's a pizza?"
Yeah, I read that book for that episode, and it was crazy.
That book is terrifying. Anyway,
so here's what's interesting about your answer is you believe in. Aliens, but you believe they're from Earth. So do you believe
but I think
in
that there's
extraterrestrial
some...
aliens?
Yeah, I also believe in extraterrestrial aliens. I just like, I think that, you know, the atmosphere isn't the only way to enter our Earth. I think that our core is made of plasma and that other civilizations know how to travel through stars through plasma. Which is why you see so much UFO activity going in and out of the sun, because it's plasma. And so plasma is what makes lava and magma in our core. So if you look also at the UFO activity around volcanoes and like active faults, there's a lot. There's like way more concentrated around those areas going in and out of volcanoes.
It's crazy that I haven't heard this before because I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like when I read about the inner Earth, like, yeah, the plasma core works like a sun because it illuminates, it radiates light. Anyways.
Is the sun plasma? I thought it was gas.
It's plasma.
I don't know anything. This is not me challenging you. This is me being completely ignorant on anything that doesn't have anything to do with me directly.
Yeah, it's all plasma.
Question two. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a ghost story?
I mean, I have things that can be easily debunked. You know what I mean? I have theories. And I feel like I've experienced things. But I have no... like definitive proof that can't be unproven. You know what I mean?
Well, sure. But do you believe that those things are ghosts?
It depends on your definition of a ghost.
My definition, this is what I tell to people, is dead humans continuing to walk the earth.
See, that's where you and I break, because I think that our bodies are one thing. And our souls are another. And so us dying is just us leaving this like meat husk behind. But then we either have to decide if we want to leave the corporeal plane or whatever this is called. Maybe it's not corporeal. Leave this plane and go to like the waiting room in the sky where we wait to be put into a new baby. Or.
Oh my God.
Or you don't because you're confused or you weren't expecting to die or you don't have any sort of like religious or afterlife belief. And then your spirit thinks it's still alive and just starts wandering around until it gets trapped into somebody else's body.
Okay.
Go into the light.
So you believe in reincarnation?
A version of it, yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah.
This is question three.
Yeah. I think Bigfoot's an extraterrestrial, but I also think that he is, he's like part of the species that lives on this earth. However, they don't travel like a normal physical being. They travel through portals, which is why you've never found a dead Sasquatch.
I feel like you stole that from us. I think you stole that from us.
I didn't steal that from you.
I think we are defining your worldview. I feel like you've listened to us.
I didn't steal that from you. If I stole it from anyone, I stole it from Mysterious Universe.
Maybe they stole it from us.
Maybe.
Question four, do you believe in psychics?
Yes, I do.
Ugh, God damn it.
Well, we've really? Talked about this.
So you would go to a psychic and they would be like, you're going to break your arm, and then you would change your life based on that?
No, because if a psychic told me I'm going to break my arm, I wouldn't believe that they were a psychic. That's not what psychics do.
What could they tell you that you would believe?
They could tell me that, like, you know, the way that my reactions to certain things that are going to come up in my life are gonna, I don't know, they can tell me generalizations and I'd believe it, but specifics I can't. I would never go to like a psychic. I mean, I believe in psychics. I would not go to like a call
to a roadside,
here.
Like,
yeah,
psychic.
I wouldn't do that. Like, there's ways and channels and people that you can contact to like get a real psychic.
Okay, before we get into this next question, Willie, you did not take a photo. Feel free to do so at any time, preferably while Aaron is taking a big bite of a taco.
Oh, yeah. I'll pose it.
Question number five. Are you superstitious?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
What's like a main superstition that comes to mind?
Trying to think. Because I don't know. I'm just like a general, like, don't
you
go
spill,
out.
Spill the salt.
Oh, yeah. Spill the salt. You throw it behind your shoulder. My grandma has this thing where it's like, if you're pregnant, you have to have a lot of garlic around you because there are vampires that will come and suck the baby out of you.
Oh, my God.
And then
I keep forgetting you're Filipino.
Yeah.
Like, the vampire thing is huge in Filipino.
Yeah, that's like a real thing. That is like a crazy, scary thing. They have like these tubes, and then they sit on your roof, and then the tubes will go down and get your baby.
What? They can't come inside? They have to use tubes from outside?
Well, vampires can't come inside unless you invite them in.
Okay, so that part is the same.
That's a superstition. There you go.
Okay.
Depending on what silverware you drop, a visitor is coming or someone will come to your door. Like, I think.
So if you drop a fork?
I think if you drop a fork, a man is coming. And if you drop a spoon, a woman is coming. And I think if you drop a knife, danger is coming.
All right, so.
But I could be wrong. Any listeners that are like, she really fucked that up, that's fine. I don't live by it, but.
Okay, well, I want to call you a five, but you're superstitious, so you have to be a four.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shame.
That's why you were eight before.
Yeah.
No, before the superstition thing wasn't a part of it.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
I think it was just a how you feel in the Wade and Willie last time. There wasn't like a quiz I took.
Oh, there was.
Well, I never got it then.
Okay, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Remote viewing. ESP. This psychic phenomenon has been used by the government. Is there anything real to this crazy psychic power? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Or don't find out. You won't find out.
Maybe you will. Maybe you'll find out.
Maybe we'll crack it. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this.
Maybe that's why people stop listening. Like, I didn't find out anything.
People stop listening?
Oh, people hate this show.
What?
Yeah, we're going down.
Oh, that's a shame.
We're going to be on a Led Zeppelin cover.
Awesome.
Aaron, do you have any thoughts on this?
Oh yeah, I got plenty of thoughts on this.
Well, share them.
Well, I mean, I think that it is totally plausible. I think it's totally a thing.
Well, wait, hold on. Let me cut you off. Let me just break this down real quick.
Yeah, define it for me and for all the other simpletons out there who just believe in the physical world.
So remote viewing is this idea that you can view someone or something else that is distant from you, whether it be in space or in time. Basically, you can sit in your room and see in another country. You can see what somebody else is doing. Obviously, there's spy implications here. Let me just break this down even smaller real quick. Let's say tomorrow I want to see what you're doing, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And I get something in my head and I see you doing something. So I'm remote viewing you. And so one idea is that I have clairvoyance, that I am having an out of body experience and I am hovering over you. I can see you because I'm a non-physical version of me is there viewing you. That's one idea. Another idea is that I'm telepathic and I'm reading your mind, so I can tell where you're at because I'm reading your mind. That's another way to remote view. And another way is actually a precognition. In the future, let's say you send a picture of what you're doing to me. And so I'm actually connecting to a future version of myself. So the precognition comes from just me connecting to myself. So those are three ways that remote viewing can happen.
And what is, like, who are the people who are doing it?
If you listen to anybody who does it, they say everyone is capable.
Yeah, anyone is capable of it. You really just have to hone it. And some people are just naturally skilled at it.
This sucks that a lot of this starts with Uri Geller. Uri Geller. He was this magician guy who was bending spoons. Remember this guy? He was on Carson and he couldn't do his tricks.
Yeah.
Well, he was bending spoons and it was freaking people out and it made governments refer to him secretly and say, if this man has the ability to bend spoons, metal, he could affect our warheads.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, can humans do this? And we should be learning about this. Can we use humans as a weapon? And so whether governments were researching this before him or not, most governments started researching this realm after him. And, so he
but
was
like, when it comes to like astral projection or something, I don't know, people that claim to do that use it as sort of like a kind of like meditation or therapy. Is there any like sort of practical usage in like a just more common kind of like,
well, it's, I think that's a great question because I think that there are practical purposes to it for a society that's not ours.
Well, I mean, I think that there's,
I mean, I'm just laughing and just making fun of ours. I'm like, yeah, I mean, connectivity. I mean, like, picture how we thought the internet would connect civilizations. And it, sure, the information is connected, and but I'm like, we have a chance to soul connect, you know? We don't need to be, but like, most people don't want to hang out with people anyways. I mean, that's it. I'm just saying, because.
So there's no just sort of like people doing it. Like, I just don't like. Okay, so it's not. It's not like this is not like a mainstream thing. Like it's less mainstream than like astral projection.
Yeah, but I think it's mostly because like, they're kind of similar, and astral projection. Like if you're doing it, you're kind of like. I imagine that you're either a little freaked out about it or you have something to do that you already are doing.
The joke I was trying to make about how it doesn't apply to our society is like, I feel like it works very well for healers, spiritual or physical healers. Like if you want to, someone's sick, you can heal them no matter where they're at. I mean, not that you have that capability, but it's like of the healing part, but like.
Well, There's so many different types of accounts of astral projection. There's like astral projection. Remote viewing. There's like remote viewing of the microcosm. There's remote viewing of the macrocosm. Like yeah. Remote viewing isn't just like physical.
Yeah, the macro, micro. That's so interesting because when you.
Well, get into that. Like what's. I know the difference between micro and macro.
I was going to.
yeah, go ahead.
Well, like a lot of the experiments that they would do, like the government would do with these people in the 70s would be after you've shown some kind of aptitude to this trick per se, one of the things they would do would to give you targets that are unconventional. So like, one of the things was another planet, but they didn't tell them what it was. They're just describing what they're seeing and what they're feeling. And then they're writing this all down and then they give it to the scientists that like know about this planet. And they're like, wow, all of these things that they're saying are actually correct. Like they would be smelling this because it's this gas. They would be seeing this color because it's, you know, this. And so that's like them.
They're smelling a bunch of farts because they're on Uranus.
But yeah, and then like in some instances, people found themselves inside of describing what turned out to be a cell. But if you look at the description of the visual interior of this person describing a cell, it sounds remarkably like outer space, which is kind of crazy.
It's the
ending to Men in Black.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
so bored. I'm so bored of.
Very
of,
bored.
Of all of these theories are all the same. It's just like, we're just like a cell. We're a cell inside of something bigger. And it's just like, that's boring, man. I've heard it. Come up with something else.
Well, so one of the most, I get what you're saying, and it's like nothing in either the evidence or the conversation lines like lead to anything else because it's all relatively the same idea that like, if any of this is real, why hasn't it revealed anything else that has made anybody even think differently about anything?
But that's what this time is now, isn't it? That's what this time is now. This is the age of humanity's re-enlightenment.
It's weird when you start believing in things because you start making things fit for your belief, you know, and I definitely fall in line with the Kalyuga cycle, our binary existence with possibly trinary, but the binary system of the dog star.
That's crazy that
our consciousness is affected by alignments of the stars, you know, and so I feel like if you buy into any of this stuff, it puts us in this dark age, and it's like we are starting to turn into we're starting to leave the dark age. So it's we might be able to experience more of the universe. It sounds like bullshit. But it falls in line with these cycles.
Is there any documented case of this where somebody has, and I keep blanking on, what are we talking about? I keep blanking on.
Oh yeah. Okay. So this is what I'm going to get. Remote viewing. So
remote viewing. Is there any like,
there's
case
this guy,
of this?
Pat Price in the 70s. I mean, there's so many cases, dude, that are legit.
Yeah, so there actually are.
Pat Price, what they, originally the reason why the CIA and the defense interior, the reason why these entities started getting involved is because they started getting accurate information. Pat Price like drew this giant crane with like four wheels, and they didn't tell him what he was looking at. And later on, when you look at his drawing compared to what he was trying to spy on, they were trying to get him to spy on Russia, where they were building this underground sphere, and it had this giant crane that was moving the sphere with. It's like nuclear weapons, you know.
Sphere?
Sphere. And there's
It'd be cooler if it was a big giant underground sphere, and they're like, "We will shoot the sphere."
We're aiming it at you. We're aiming the spear at you. Jimmy Carter talked about this too. At one point, there was a downed Soviet spy plane that in Africa, and we used remote viewing to find it, and it worked, and we got to the spy plane before the Russians did.
So back up a second. So they say, like, okay, this guy can remote view shit. What are the prompts? Like, how do they say, like when you're talking about them going to other planets or something like that, like what are you asking to, if they don't know what they're looking at, then how do they know where to look?
Well, each case is a little different when they're trying to set up situations, you know. Sometimes you'll get coordinates. Sometimes you'll connect to a person. It's like, hey, where's Wade Randolph? He's in this room, you know, whatever. And so, like, when the spy angle really started happening, they would just give coordinates. And they would also have a picture of something in an envelope so that it's like, it was definitely in reference to what's in the envelope, so that you had a better chance of not being, just so that there was a subject, you know?
They had a control. Yeah. There was a control to the experiment.
So another fascinating one was in 1984, they were remote viewing. They let some people remote view the Cydonia complex on Mars, which is the face on Mars. And they also attached a time like a million BC. And so when it comes to remote viewing, if you look at any of these, I wouldn't even call them whistleblowers, because most of the people that were a part of these programs are out there trying to just tell people that, hey, this works. Anybody can do it. Like just quiet your mind. The distance doesn't matter. There's no decrease in accuracy for however far away it is, whether it be time or space. And so, a million years ago, the face on Mars, they accurately described one of the pyramids out there, and they were describing these very tall extraterrestrial beings who were aware of his presence, which fucking blows my mind. If you can connect to ancient civilizations and they can be aware of you, like, you know, you hear the stories of DMT where people see beings. What if you're not connecting to an alien, you're connecting to a being that was in this same place thousands of years ago?
But how could they accurately describe something from a million years? We don't know if it was accurate or not. We don't know what it looked like a million years ago. So
yeah, you're right. But they say that the pyramid description matched. And they don't have four-sided pyramids on there. They have other weird ones in it, like five-sided pyramids that, but yeah, they've definitely been weathered to where most people say they aren't pyramids.
Yeah.
So to believe in this, you have to believe in a lot of other things.
Well,
I mean,
specifically this one. Yeah.
I think that when you start looking at like paranormal, and like not necessarily paranormal, but like the undocumented and experimental targets, it starts to kind of muddy the waters. If you look at like what the government was actually doing with remote viewing, it starts to make a little bit more sense. Like the remote viewers were looking at like literal documents in top secret areas yeah. that later were like proven to be real, that they were real documents. Like they were doing real spy work, and it wasn't just the US doing it. This was like our, you know, counter, like the enemy's counterintelligence doing this stuff too, because also people doing, no, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we also specifically found hostages and Patty Hearst, when she was kidnapped, a remote viewer found the getaway car that still had shells in it, ammo shells. Like they've specifically proven to be accurate in a lot of weird things. And so, but to
then,
be able to,
oh, yeah. But then shouldn't none of this, shouldn't it have been solved at that point?
From what I understand, if you are using remote viewing, if you are using your psychic powers, this ESP, any of this stuff, it's almost like as soon as your ego gets involved, it makes it harder for you to read the information. It's like if you are just an observer and you take yourself out of it, you have more success. And I say that because it's almost like you have to just jump into the river of consciousness instead of actively being like, hey, I want to go find this out. And so that's why it's easier for them to get information if they give someone coordinates or attached to a person than to say, hey, what can you do? You know?
Right. But if we've seen these top secret documents or whatever, what, you know, or if they knew where Patty Hearst was, why didn't they just go there? Why didn't they do the things? What's the point of doing it if it seems like that should be the end, right? Like,
I really think that them finding the car led to them getting her. But it's like, why can't they be more specific when they need to?
I don't know enough about Patty Hearst at all. Wasn't she like on TV with them and stuff? Like, didn't people kind of know where she was?
She claimed that she was kidnapped and then she took part in some of the robberies and they're like, oh, she's in on it. And, you know, her William Randolph Hearst was her dad?
Grandfather.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know all that. I'm just saying, like, I just don't know enough about, like, how that all ended. It seems like if you're like, oh, she's in this compound or whatever, like, let's go get that compound.
I think that it led to them finding her. So let's just go into the realm of the Stargate project. This thing was terminated and declassified in 1995. That's how long it went. When a CIA report concluded that it was never useful in any intelligence operation. Information was vague, irrelevant. There's a book and a movie called The Men Who Stare at Goats, where if you've seen that, it makes it suck even worse. You know, and so when I hear all that and I hear all these people that were a part of the program talking about specific things and how great it was, how it worked, and even Jimmy Carter, when he was president, was like, yeah, we use remote viewers to find this down plane and it worked. And then you hear that like it doesn't work. It makes me say, well, I personally think that the program is not stopped. They just turned into Black Project money and it's still going. Because anybody who is a part of this says, yes, the success rate is really good. There's this girl, Jessica Utz. She's a professor at the University of Cal Irvine. She worked for the SRI, the Stanford Research Institute, only because they needed like statistics on how accurate this stuff was. So she came on to work for it they started testing people, you know.
What's her name?
Jessica Utz. And she talks about how accurate it was. And she came at it from a statistical standpoint. I mean, everybody who was a part of the program talks about how accurate everything was. And then the report says, no, it wasn't accurate, it didn't work. I know I'm repeating myself, but because then it makes me look at, you know, when you look at Uri Geller, and he is a big part of the start of everything, and he is basically a clown in this realm, you know? He's debunked. He got embarrassed on Carson a couple times, twice at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people were saying that, like one of the guys that was in on the program, he was just a street magician. But then he started tapping into stuff. And he's like, yeah, sometimes I would get information about people and I didn't expect it. I only say all this because I feel like he was put out there to make it look not credible. Like during the Cold War, basically they said that the program ended because the Cold War was over and we don't need this technology anymore. We call it technology. But I think that if you want to fool the enemy, who is also the public at this point, because you don't want your citizens to know that they can go into your mind, they can go into your house, they can... We can spy on governments. We can spy on you.
They do that already.
Yeah. But I'm like, I feel like there was a big push to make this not credible to the public and to the enemy.
I don't know. I mean, what, so who cares about that? Like if I guess I'm struggling with like, are we talking about the government cover up of this or,
I thought we were talking about remote viewing.
No, we are. But like, at what angle? Are we talking about that it exists and the government is covering it up? Or are we talking...
That's where I went to. I mean, let's get back into remote viewing. I'm just saying that, like, I feel like if it was all accurate, there's no way that anybody from the government angle would come out and say that it works.
But if all of these governments are doing it,
I mean, that's something that I was trying to say earlier when I was talking, is like, remote viewers can sense other remote viewers. They have remote viewers specifically to sense out other remote viewers, like enemy remote viewers.
So it's like hacking.
It is it's psychic hacking.
Yeah.
It is psychic hacking into your physical and mental and psychic realm. And like, the whole like Menus Derek Goats things with the LSD, like they found the LSD amplifies this ability to like the umpteenth degree. Like you could just straight up see people. And then I forget what book it's in, but there's an account too of like someone opening up like a super top secret, like US government, like file storage area. Like no one should be in there. Like maybe five people have access to it. And there was like a shape like going through the files. And when it like noticed that somebody was there, it dissipated. And then the remote viewer that's supposed to be like checking for enemy remote viewers was like, I think someone was just in the file room. I don't know how they got by me. And they're like, I saw something. I saw it. So I mean, I think that there's like, there's a possibility that there's a physical thing happening if you are good enough at it. But if you are a beginner, if you just start doing it, maybe you can only see things. You can't manipulate them yet.
Wait, you can manipulate stuff? Like the guy going through the file, he was like going through like a file cabinet and like turning folders and stuff?
Like looking through the cabinet. But like at the same time, like maybe because you are a remote viewer, you don't know what is on the other end of your remote view. You know what I mean? Because you can never physically see your astral self there or like know how it works. You just know that in your mind, you're seeing this thing, you're describing it. You don't know that there's like a tulpa of you like on the other side of it or something.
I just hope they're not watching me in the bathroom.
They got better things to do, Wade.
But they could accidentally.
But it's pretty interesting. You don't know what I do in there. It's pretty crazy.
That's why most ghost stories are just a door closing. It's like, oh, whoops, I didn't mean to come in here.
Yeah, like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
All right, why don't we take a quick break? And then when we come back, we'll get further into remote viewing with our good friend, Aaron Pierce.
Yay.
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 Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me. What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing? Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are here talking about remote viewing with our good friend, Aaron Pierce, who believes in all this bullshit.
Hell yeah.
Now you guys, so apparently anybody can remote view. Do you know how, like what the steps are to kind of do that? Like how do you do it?
I have the steps in front of me.
Yeah, let us know.
All right, select a range of targets. Ask a friend or family member to select 5 to 10 pictures. Ask them to cut images from magazines and paste them onto blank sheets of white paper. One picture per sheet. The images should be real-world pictures such as people, architecture, nature, etc. Ask them not to pick a target picture that may be offensive or disturbing to the viewer. That's your first step. You got to get your pictures in order.
You got to get those triggers out of there.
And they say family member because you might have an extra connection to them. So it's like, start with your family.
Number two, ask your assistant or family member to put the images in an envelope. Ask them to stack the images in a manila envelope face down and say absolutely nothing about them to you. You'll view them one at a time, getting feedback after each session from the face down target at the top of the pile. Okay, so put them in an envelope, face down on a stack. You're going to look at the top of the pile. Step three, quiet your mind. You want as little mental noise as possible, so they suggest meditating. Four, let it go. Write down the date, time, and any ideas you want to let go that may distract you while viewing. So empty out your brain. Open it up, shake it out on some paper. Five, call the target to mind. Begin the session by describing the most basic impressions you have of the first target site, event, or person. What do you feel is the predominant thing in the target? Is it natural or artificial? Surrounded by land or water? Write several descriptions down. Six, do not second guess yourself. Write down the first thing that comes to your mind. The fainter, the better. Just make sure you write down the information as descriptively as possible and don't judge anything. Seven, connect the dots unconsciously. Information is coming from your mind and automatic nervous system. The idea that your unconscious already knows everything there is to know about the target. It just has to communicate. That to your conscious mind. It does that through your body with very subtle sensations and feelings. So it's saying like your subconscious already knows this stuff. It's just your dumb body that doesn't know how to
everything decipher. You learned in your life gets in your way of interpreting the information that's just flowing through you.
Yeah. It looks like there's a couple more steps, so I'll try to go through this fast. Eight, describe the basics. Write down sensory information that comes up, like smells, visuals, tastes, and temperatures. You may start perceiving sizes, shapes, and patterns, known as dimensionals. You may even start to feel an emotional reaction to the target. Nine, draw a sketch of the target. Take your time. Don't worry about how your sketch looks. Draw what you think you see. 10, 10, find a bird's eye view. Imagine yourself floating several hundred feet over the target. Is there anything surprising about the target that you can perceive? Make a note of your final impressions about the target. Then, step 11, end the session. Write down the time and a brief summary of what you received. 12, get feedback. Pull the top photo from the envelope and see how you did. Take your time to really look at the colors and shapes of the image and compare it to your notes. You may be surprised with the results. 13, review and repeat. If you didn't connect with anything in the photo, don't despair. The main point of remote viewing is to learn about yourself, not just to be accurate. Remember that remote viewing is an ability you may cultivate. Repeat the process above for the remaining targets in the envelope. And lastly, 14, let go of being right. You aren't going to be right all the time at first. Have fun.
Here's another way. I mean, obviously, if you start to meditate regularly, it allows your brain to get into that state easier. But there is, so the guy, Russell Targ, who worked at the Stanford Research Institute, he worked under a NASA program that developed this. There is an app called ESP Trainer, and you can train yourself to ESP better with just an app. There's four colored squares, yeah. And you just, if you pick the correct square, there's a there's like a drawing behind it. So you there's an image. So like if you can quiet your mind, picture an image, and then try to guess which square has it. Mm-hmm. If you get it right, there's a, well, yeah.
I mean, I feel like we could kind of live, we could kind of do this a lot. Like I could just do a random.
Like a remote viewing or the psychic app thing?
No, like a random remote viewing. I could just like pick a thing and you guys could tell me what I'm looking at. I feel like we could just do it live. Okay. You guys, are you ready? Should we try this? We can cut out all of the you guys meditating stuff.
Yeah, we'll you pick something and then we'll both take turns describing it. And then
we'll see who gets closest at the end.
Okay, cool. I've already got the photo. I'm already looking at it.
Who goes first?
It looks like Willie's already going, so he can go first.
A bad Bigfoot drawing, smiling with a thumbs up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is it black?
Mine was like chocolate brown.
Because I have like a monkey in my mind. And I drew this little face.
Okay.
But he was sending it to you, I guess. I was just
Sending it to wherever. I mean, you guys can both pretty much do this at the same time, I think.
Yeah. Just the one, right? I mean, the second image I'm getting is a motorcycle guy jumping off of a jump. That's just me second guessing myself. I don't, you know, like.
But that's you're not supposed to second guess. She just listed.
Yeah. It's hard because it's supposed to be like really quiet and stuff.
So, but that's what we both guessed something. What was it?
You already want to know what it was? You don't want to keep going?
Oh, I figured we could just do it again. Like pick something else.
It's a photo of Seven Dust performing. Well,
did you see the number I wrote?
Oh, you did write seven. You wrote black eyes. The lead singer of Seven Dust is black. And I'll tell you this drawing that you wrote, that you drew, is it looks a lot like the white dude who's singing.
I just can't believe I wrote seven.
I don't want to, when we share screen, it like fucks up the Zoom. So I'm going to put in the chat this, this photo.
This is going to freak me out, isn't it?
Maybe.
It does not look like that guy. Get out of here.
No, the guy singing, the white guy. You've got the low brow because he's wearing a hat. And then I thought that those little teeth were his mouth singing.
Yeah, that was kind of like a mouth-nose thing I was seeing.
All right. Let's rock. Let's do another one.
I can't believe I got seven. Is this the picture you were looking at?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just got, I wrote seven in black, and that, like, everyone in this picture is wearing a black shirt. And this is seven dust? Sorry, I just, like, it's weird. All right.
Do you think that you did it?
I mean, I think that it was something close. Like, why would I write?
Seven's pretty crazy.
Is pretty close.
Okay, I've got a new one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sending out my waves.
I mean, you know, I'm just doing the quickest, fastest thing in my mind. I pictured a man, a boat on a lake, and there's a guy standing on the boat looking at the camera, drinking a beer, sunsets kind of happening.
I have blue-green moist, but I wrote foggy, but I think I meant moisture. And cloudy.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Is it nothing close to that?
It's, well, blue. I was saying blue a lot in my head, but it's just a picture of Congresswoman Catherine Harris of Florida. I guess maybe moist and foggy could be Florida, right?
Well, foggy, the background is super blurry.
Yeah, but every background is blurry if you use a depth of field lens.
And I wrote cloud.
Oh, look, you can't see, but she's holding a beer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, she's on a boat.
Well, I at least got blue. I got blue green.
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty cool.
Okay, well, this was fun. If you guys could...
Wait, I want to try it for you, though. You don't believe in it. I want you to try it.
Okay. Do you want to pick the photo and Willie and I will do it? What do? I close my eyes and I just tell you what comes up?
Yeah. Let me find a picture, though. Okay. Okay, I have one. Let me send it to you guys.
Well, I have to stop because the first thing that I thought of was Homer Simpson about to bite into a donut. Is it that?
No.
And then once that came into my head, I couldn't stop. I just started picturing Homer in a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, I'm like, I know that it's not supposed to be the most instantaneous thing you think of, but like, I can't stop myself from jumping out of that. So that's why I'm like, well, I know I'm probably wrong, but I just picture.
We're also not doing it right. Like, she did it right where she just wrote down like words and stuff.
But like, what about Homer had you thinking about it? Like, what was it about Homer that got you thinking of him initially?
Oh yeah, like it.
I think it was probably his yellow skin.
Mm.
See, I pictured a horse in a forest with what looks like a smile.
I think you guys are thinking too hard.
I wasn't thinking.
I'm not thinking. Yeah, me neither. I'm just like blub blub. Okay,
what
go.
Was it? Oh, what? She sent it. What was it?
It was a red fire hydrant on a brick sidewalk.
He's kind of Homer shaped.
Yeah, that's why I was like, maybe it's the dome. Maybe he's talking about the donut. It's the circle. I'm like making shit up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got Homer's dome with a donut, you know?
Homer donut.
If you guys could remote view anything, what would it be?
I mean, I would straight up hack, you know? I would go to Cydonia. I would go into government files. I'd go into the Vatican and look at their fucking miles of books underneath that like are closed off to everyone.
I go into the Serpent Mound in Ohio, see what's there.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
The Serpent Mound is this thing in Ohio where if you look at it above the ground, it looks like a serpent, but it was made by supposedly the natives of that area before colonists came. They don't really know what it's for, but it faces the exact spot where the sun sets on, I think, winter solstice. However,
you know what's funny?
However, the government put bushes and shrubs there to obstruct the view.
The funniest thing about this is it's in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a landmark that there's like a treasure in.
Yeah, I mean, that's... So the crazy thing about the Serpent Mound is it's around an area that has lots of mounds like these, and they think that they're burial mounds. But if you look inside, there are actually a lot of bones. There's just, like, weird artifacts and stuff. And this is around the same general tribal area that Joseph Smith of the Mormon religion supposedly found his golden plates in one of these mounds.
Oh, snap.
Okay, well... Nothing against Mormons. They're some of the nicest people, but that whole mythology of Joseph Smith is like complete hogwash.
But okay, you're on a paranormal podcast. If you think about it in the way that you can touch things, people have been known to touch things and get visions or have visitations from energies that are attached to these things that give them instructions. Like, this is a thing that's common amongst ancient artifacts. And
the seer stone, didn't they release that recently?
Yeah, and if you look at the Colbrin, which is supposedly what the Bible is based off of, it's missing like five books from it. There's supposed to be like nine or something, and they only have four. But they're gold books that have like information about the history of the pre-world as we know it. And it's like, I don't know, maybe Joseph Smith found one. Who knows?
Willie, let's go back to...
to remote viewing.
Yeah, remote viewing. I cannot remember that term for whatever reason. Who's this guy that you wanted to... You wanted to bring up a case.
So there's a guy, Pat Price. He is probably the most successful remote viewer. To where, like, he would draw things and just be accurate. He tried to, you know, when you get in, back in the day when you were in the top secret realm, like, you started getting whiffs of other top secret things, right? Like, so he at one point was like, I'm going to go remote view alien bases on Earth. And he found alien bases on Earth.
That's my whole thing. Like, because we just did this weird thing, and obviously, like, we're novices. We needed images and someone to like. How do you just go like, I'm gonna go look at something that I don't even know if it's true or not? Because at that point, aren't you just making shit up?
Well, they give you like when you're remote viewing a place for the government and they don't know what's there, but they have coordinates, they give you coordinates, or they write down on a piece of paper the words, and it's just those words, if you're that good, it's just those words that can take you to that spot.
Yeah, so like they tactfully get you there so that you actually don't learn anything either.
And it's not, it's usually like, not just you. It's usually you and a couple people so that your information has to line up a little bit for it.
You could tell me some coordinates right now and I would not have any idea like how to decipher coordinates. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that longitude, latitude. What are my words?
Longitude, what words? Latitude.
Longitude and latitude. But like, I think that the whole point is that you don't really know where it is. Like, the thing is, you're not supposed to overthink it. So if you're given coordinates and you don't know what they are, but you look at the coordinates and suddenly you have like an intense feeling or like you're getting something, you know, this is your job, then you're going to recognize that, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm seeing.
But not even what you're supposed to do. Like, they just got used to just jumping onto the wave, you know, where it's like, hey, here's the information I got.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's not like they felt like they were a spy or that they were trying to accomplish anything. Just saying that, taking that ego out of the whole thing. And it's just like, hey, oh, you want me to see this? Okay, here's what I see. And then they just be accurate.
Is this just the beginning of Ghostbusters where Bill Murray is like showing those cards?
Yeah, dude, that's why I love.
That is pretty much it. Yeah.
A lot of 80s movies would take something crazy, ground it, and then let their story happen. They did such a good job of, like, the beginning of Ghostbusters is fucking legit.
Well, that's because Dan Aykroyd is like part of a paranormal legacy.
But it's weird. Yeah, and I get that, like, but it's weird to be able to bring that into a comedy. like grounding it is the secret, you know?
Yeah.
So Pat Price, he was a Burbank police officer. He was in
Isn't that funny? He's a Burbank police officer. Sorry. Yeah.
You know what's funny about that is those guys are the absolute worst.
But they probably weren't in the 70s when, like, the film business was booming and everybody was. I mean, I
just want to let everybody know out there that if you're in Burbank, do not jaywalk because they love to give jaywalk tickets.
Yeah. So according to him, there are 4 alien bases on the Earth. And one of them in particular was very crazy because there are 11 underground levels. And he said that this base was protected by the U.S. government and that they were working with the government to hide their presence. And when he went in there, yeah, that they had a remote viewer guard that saw him and basically chased him back to his house and started viewing him, which is why he stopped doing it. So the weird thing is, here's this guy. He's a part of the program the whole fucking time. And then, so he died. But right before his death, he took out a $1 million life insurance plan. He changed his trip last minute to be able to visit his son. And then he said kind of goodbye to friends in an odd way. They realized afterwards.
Pat Price was going to Las Vegas. And a few days before, he was sitting at the bar. A few days before he died, he was sitting at the bar drinking coffee. And he kind of caught some dude like unsurreptitiously putting something into his coffee. But he didn't like... He kind of confronted the guy, but the guy, like, you know, whatever. What's he going to do? Be like, sorry, I put something in your coffee. So anyway, just like, whatever. That was like this failed attempt. So then later, like, he was going in the lobby. This couple days later, he was walking in the lobby and he has this weird bump in with a random guy. And it was just awkward because there wasn't a lot of people in the lobby and there was no reason for this guy to bump into him. Later that afternoon, he starts having like heart palpitations. He starts sweating. Like, it's well known that Pat Price has like a heart condition. So he started feeling sick after this bump in with this guy. He went up to his room, started feeling ill. A few hours later, still not feeling good. He was supposed to meet with some friends for dinner, but I think that he was feeling too ill. So he called one of his friends up and was like, ugh, something's wrong. And I think that by 5 a.m. the next day, he was super... like in physical distress. His breathing wasn't right. He was super crampy. He started convulsing. He goes into cardiac arrest. And before the paramedics got there, he just died. Like, he had this crazy heart attack and he died.
And so on top of all that being weird, when the coroner was when they were going to do an autopsy, mm-hmm. and somebody showed up with a briefcase and was like, hey, he's been working on, you know, stuff. And look, at here's his, he has a history of a bad heart. Mm-hmm. So he probably died from a bad heart. And so they didn't do the autopsy. They said that he died from his heart condition. And then they cremated him. And then they called his wife to say that he was dead, which is like not the steps that anybody does that.
Messed up, dude.
They cremated him and then called his wife.
That's how I want to go, mysteriously.
So I kind of want nobody to know how I died. I think it would be fun.
So I have two takes on this.
Okay.
One take is, holy fuck, they killed the fuck out of him and they got away with it.
Uh-huh.
Who cremates somebody that quickly? Luckily, he got the $1 million life insurance policy. My other take is, if this is all real, you would not kill him. You would convince him to work for you and to be publicly dead.
Maybe. I mean, if this is real, maybe he saw something that he shouldn't have, you know? Maybe mm-hmm. he was gonna blow up your shit.
Well, the alien basis is pretty out there, you know.
But maybe he saw what they were doing at the alien base.
Yeah, or maybe he saw something that had to do with Russia or something. Like, it doesn't have to be an alien base thing. But, because the alien base thing is so easy to throw away, because you can just be like, oh, he's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
nobody believes in that anyways. But maybe my thing saw is,
the president's Gumar.
If you, but I'm just like, if he did see something, the last thing you would do is kill him. You'd be like, no, he's our number one weapon. Let's give him a mansion and have him work. Let's give him prostitutes. Let's give him everything that he wants.
Well, if everything you guys are saying, maybe the other guy, what is this called?
Remote viewing.
The other remote viewer was like, oh, fuck, that guy just saw Comrade. This guy saw all of our secrets. And so Russia activated some spy in Vegas to go and get him.
Maybe. I mean, literally anything's possible. If you believe in this stuff, then you know that anything is possible.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in this stuff, then he died of a heart attack.
If you don't believe in any of this stuff, then goddamn it, don't let them cremate you before calling your wife.
Yeah, don't. You're dead already, but don't.
Like that's impossible.
Well, but what would that prove? Because then they don't know that he died of poison or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think he died. If he was killed, it was heavy metal poison.
My whole thing is if his wife didn't get to see his body before he was cremated, how do you know that that was him?
Well, that's the thing, and that is illegal. You can't dispose of a body without the next of kin having a decision in that.
It's not illegal if the government does it.
I smell an insurance scam. He got that $1 million life insurance, and then he disposed of his quote unquote body. And now him and his wife are on the Cayman Islands living it up.
If you could prove that somebody was going to die tomorrow, why not get them today and play them as you?
What if he remote viewed the orders to kill him?
So then he was like, oh, I should get a life insurance policy.
to take care of my wife.
But then wouldn't, if he remote viewed him, wouldn't he be like, oh, I'll just go somewhere else?
No, because he knows that, like, if the government is planning on killing him, like, they're going to find him no matter what. That's, like, not a life that you want your family to have.
Because remote viewing is real, and they'll just be able to locate him.
Yeah. So it's like, if you know that they're just going to kill you, and, like, if you can remote view, who knows what kind of psychic weapons they have, too. So, like, who's to say that, like, he's like, okay, they're going to kill me. I have, you know, a week left to live. I'm going to get my house in order, essentially, like say goodbye to everyone.
Yeah, do all that, but then also psychic battle, you know, like fucking start remote viewing all the time and fly to fucking Paris or whatever and like start like doing some weird psychic spy shit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, with great power comes great responsibility, you know? So, and there has to be some kind of like physical, emotional toll that this does to you. Like, I mean, just going to a party makes me so tired. I can't imagine what remote viewing like a government building is going to be.
What if this was all real and you worked for the government and you were in charge of this program and then somebody mentions the fact that, hey, if the public finds out that anybody can do this, then there is no such thing as top secret because everybody can learn everything. Like, do you have a responsibility to hide the program or to prove to everyone that it's fake? Like, do you... Do you take on the idea that to save our secrets, we have to stop everyone from learning anything about this?
I mean, the only reason I would is because, like, oh, if everybody can do this, I'm out of a job. But, like, I think for the most part, like, you can scream this from the rooftops and people aren't going to believe you.
Yeah,
like, people aren't going to be like, oh shit, we can just see whatever we want all the time. Let's just do that. Like, no one's going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, like, I don't know. I think that Wade has a point that, like, there are more Wades than there are Willies in this world, I feel like. And so if you go around telling people that you can remote view and that everyone can do it, yada, 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 they're going to be like, all right, what's the catch? What are you trying to get from me? I don't want to be a Scientologist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I very much, I don't know. Like, maybe, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this in general. Like, I just, you guys believe this. You believe that you can...
I wrote blue, green. I wrote blue. Like,
but that helps me in no way. You know, like,
that doesn't help you at all. That doesn't give you any kind of, like, this is, I going into it, never done it, never having done it before myself. Like, the fact that I even wrote seven, and seven is in the name of the band you were looking up, and I wrote down, like, the color of the background of the picture, like, you don't think that that's crazy?
It's interesting. It could be coincidental. But when it comes to like intelligence, it doesn't give me anything, you know. I would be like, okay, well, yeah, you're describing the picture that I showed you.
Because you asked me to with my mind.
I just mean, this is like, so you guys believe that you can go into, like, a vault and look through files, and you also believe that there can be another person doing the same thing and can, like, see you doing that. You believe that?
Yeah, why not?
It's because it's like magic. That's like Harry Potter.
Yeah, but, like, okay, if you think about the degradation of human physical mental ability, like, where we are as humanity is the worst that we've ever physically been. We're the weakest form of humanity that we have ever been. Like, we can't exist outside. We need a shelter now. We can't. We as humans, our body, our, like, biomechanical engineering, whatever, we should be running faster than, like, freaking horses and cheetahs, because we can take a breath while we run. A lot of animals can't really do that. So, like, we are the worst that we can possibly be. So just because, like, we're physically bad doesn't mean that, like, psychically and mentally we're still as we were before. Like, there are parts of our human bodies and our psyches that we don't and cannot understand, like, now in the current state.
And I feel like that there is a lot of information that is stored at the molecular level that, like, we can tap into you know, like, if you picture all of the photons from one sun, like, is there some kind of connection to where I can, remote viewing is only possible maybe because we're all stardust, and, like, I can connect to other stardust, you know, like, that's where I'm leaning more towards, where it's like our definition of the universe fucked us because we defined it.
I mean, you might be right, but I don't think you are. Do you think that cavemen were, like, we're doing, what's this fucking thing called? God damn it.
Look, I changed my remote name viewing. To it. I changed my name so you can see.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, do you think funny. That cavemen were, like, remote viewing, like, the next fucking tribe over and going, like, oh, they got a fucking tiger
I think that the weird thing is so yes, you're saying cavemen. I'm like, dude, humans have had the same brain as us for hundreds of thousands of years. So even pre the Sumerians, like those hunter-gatherer humans had the same brain and the same, they were as smart as us. They had this capability of being as smart, you know? And I'm like,
sure, but do you think that they were remote viewing? Do you think that, like, Caesar was remote viewing?
Well, like, okay, so we don't know. We only know from the information that has survived the centuries.
I know, I'm asking you guys to yeah, pontificate.
I think that, I mean, my answer is, I feel like that's why all the previous civilizations cared more about the stars than we do. Sure, you turn off the lights, that's what you look at. They didn't have lights at night. They focus on those things. But I'm like, if you could, I don't think that they just drew the brightest stars. I think that they connected to stars that had intelligence there. So like when you see the Orion's Belt on the pyramids, I think that that's saying like, hey, this is either where we're from or there are beings here that we could talk to.
And I will expand on that a little bit. The explorers from, like, you know, the early, 1400s, like when they started sailing around the world, they would come upon these like lesser intelligent tribes that would have these amazingly accurate maps that they would have no way to figure out and to draw. Because, like, these people are, like, not as smart. They don't, like, have big boats. They can't go on these. Like, where did they get these crazy maps from? Like, maps that had not existed in any other European or, like, advanced culture before.
Wait, do you mean maps that are of a larger scale than the surrounding area of that tribe?
Yeah, like, maps of the entire coast of South America. Like, maps of Antarctica. Like, the coasts of Antarctica.
Don't you think that... They could be nomadic and they'd just been there and they'd tracked where they were.
I mean, yes and no. The way that the measurements were done were so hyper accurate, like against modern maps, versus the maps that the explorers were using that were supposedly the most advanced versions of their maps using what mathematics and tools they had. Like, I think that either the natives that they were encountering either had those maps passed down from, like, some other culture that was there before them,
mm-hmm,
and had, you know, disappeared somehow, or they could be remote viewing that area and making the maps for it that way.
Can I ask you guys, psychologically, why do you have a fetish for ancient civilizations being better than us? Like, what does that gain you? Like, why do you convince yourself that?
I don't think that they're better than us. I think that they're different, and that I just think that ancient civilizations have a lot more to offer us as far as, like, knowledge about ourselves as a society, a humanity, how we can be work alongside the earth rather than against the earth. I think that there's a lot of information that gets washed over because of, you know, the way that science and archaeology is a little whitewashed. They, like, if it's not colonized science, like European science, like, generally people don't listen to it. Like, there's a lot of science out there where that information, there's, like, new information coming up, but because it rubs against the core beliefs of current science, it would totally, upturn everything we know. Like, everyone poo-poos it until someone who's worthy of that information coming out, like, says it. You know what I mean?
I love that. And to add to that, remote viewing falls in line with this science of not being science, because You can't make it happen scientifically, but the statistics of the success rate are the proof in the pudding for this, where it's like, well, you can't guess this many times the people that are good at this. You can't guess that many times in a row and be right. Like, there has to be something to it. And so to me, I apply this to ancient civilizations because I could be wrong about all of it, but I just have this feeling that the way to fix humanity is to have a galactic presence. And when I look at ancient civilizations, I know that they may have been stupid and racist, or, you know, all the things that are good and bad about everything. But I'm like, I feel like when you start looking at the stars and it like puts us into a place of, we are small and we are big. And I feel like if you're just out there, and listen, I'm not knocking anybody doing anything on their journey. I'm just saying, for me, it's like, I need to make sense for humanity, for our place in the cosmos, not as, you know, our place in the cosmos is more important to me than my job.
Yeah, but, and we should wrap this up. I just want to throw this one thing out there. What if it's all chaos and none of it means anything?
Then it's chaos, and finding meaning in chaos brings happiness.
I feel like the trying to find meaning is a terrible doom, because you won't find meaning. But I feel like, from everything I've seen, there's more proof in connectivity than not. That there, I hate the word afterlife, but there's something after.
All right. Aaron, do you have anything about remote viewing that was not said that you feel like you gotta bring to the table?
Like in defense of remote viewing, or just in general?
No, just anything that we didn't touch upon that you think is interesting, anything like that. This is not an argument. This is just
You know, we were talking about how remote viewing was being utilized in the 70s, but remote viewing was something that Hitler was really interested in, and this is something that the Nazis were trying to figure out. I mean, the Nazis were super into the paranormal exploration of things, but I don't know. I just think that all of the Nazi research into remote viewing is like super weird and interesting, and obviously at the hands of a lot of dead people from their experiments, but they got a lot of information that you can't normally get from civilized people. So if you're really interested in remote viewing, look at the dark underside of it as well.
Yeah, Thune and Thule Society.
Mm-hmm.
Willie, any closing thoughts?
It's the thing that I think sucks about my brain is that if I believe something, like, I would do myself better justice if I would explore the possibilities instead of, because what I tend to do is be like, look, if this were real, they would hide it, and they're hiding it, you know? And that doesn't prove anything. And it's just pointing fingers. And I'm just like, well, I just really am so disappointed in every every human that's ever been in power in any way. I'm just disappointed in if any of this is real, because I believe in most of this, right? If any of this is real, like, shame on you for fucking needing to hide it. If it's all not real, I mean, you know, I could just as well be a janitor that sucks at being a janitor. Like, what's the difference in me exploring shit that isn't real? Not to knock on janitors. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, you better backtrack on that janitor comment.
It's just like
you just lost seven followers who are all janitors.
An insignificant job that, like, what we've convinced ourselves that being a cog in the wheel is good for our society. Like, fuck off. Don't get brainwashed into thinking.
But the thing is, just because you become president doesn't mean suddenly all of this information is given to you and you believe in all of it. I mean, that's...
No, the presidents don't get most of this information. That's what, I don't believe they get most of the top secret stuff.
Even fucking the people who are running the presidency probably don't believe in this shit.
I mean, okay, this is weird, but I think that they had to tell Trump something about aliens, because why would he suddenly want Space Force?
It's all money. The mining, that asteroid that's coming, that Elon Musk and NASA, it's all money. It's about mining the moon right now.
I really feel like he read a thing about aliens and got freaked out. Like, we gotta get lasers. We gotta get lasers on ships. We gotta get people out there.
Every decision he's made is aligning himself with giant companies that are ready to make too much money.
I would love for a bunch of remote viewers to just watch the entire presidency and see hell happened. Because either he didn't know anything the entire time or he knew everything the entire time. And there's no in between.
If I had to remote view the entire Trump presidency, I would kill myself.
Even when he was boning Melania?
Well, they never boned.
What's his wife's name?
Wow. Melania.
Wow. Oh, okay. That's an
interesting question. Do you think they boned in the White House in the last four years?
I don't think they boned.
Oh, I don't think so either.
I'll bet they boned. I'll bet they boned constantly.
I don't think they bone.
If you watch the way they hold hands, I'm like, oh, no.
You mean how they don't hold hands? You're just like, oh, pull our hand away. Ugh,
okay, gross. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Remember, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. Do you have any plugs?
I would like to plug the Channel 101 Patreon podcast, Channel 101 Serving Through Time, going through every single screening, one screening at a time. We have special guests on. I know we've had Wade on. Will, you've been on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you will be back again, I'm sure, both of you. And then also Frequency 101. If you are a Channel 101 follower, then you would love to know that Frequency 101 is the audio version of Channel 101. So get rid of that pesky camera. Get behind that microphone. Make a 5-minute audio pilot and send it in. They take no breaks.
I just got my first, I just submitted my first one. I got in, I got last place.
I was surprised you got last place. Like, I was actually very surprised you got last place. And everyone was so surprised that all those voices were you.
Oh, sweet.
They're like, who is this Australian guy that Willie knows? I'm like, I think that's Willie.
I had a cold the whole time too. So whatever.
Now that works.
Okay, thanks everybody for listening. Willie, any plugs?
Willie Bad Movies on Instagram, and watch out for Bon Voyage, the movie that's coming at some point.
Bon with a G?
Yeah.
Bon Voyage. That sounds great. Oh, and the Twitch Channel 101 official on Twitch. We stream stuff every Saturday and Sunday, and I'm Scundor Sticks on Twitch. I play video games. It.
And if you don't know what Channel 101 is, just go to channel101.com. You're stuck at home, probably. There's like a million hours of content. Go all the way back to the beginning. Watch it all. I can vouch for, I don't know, 50% of it.
I agree. What are you plugging, Wade?
That's only because you're in 50% of it.
I'm not plugging shit. I got nothing going on. I'll let you know if anything happens. Thanks for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not after you. Good night.